BlackRock's infrastructure arm leads $250 million bet on commercial building efficiency as a grid asset. Global Infrastructure Partners, now operating under BlackRock's $12.5 trillion umbrella, just underwrote commercial building efficiency with the same conviction it applies to natural gas pipelines. The $250 million debt facility upsizing for Butterfly, pushing the energy as a service provider's total facility to $550 million, signals that institutional capital now views behind-the-meter load flexibility as infrastructure, not just energy savings. The transaction closed March 25, 2026, with participation from existing lender Vantage Infrastructure and Nuveen maintaining its position as a significant facility participant. An additional $100 million accordion feature provides expansion capacity. GIP manages over $193 billion across energy, transport, digital infrastructure, water, and waste, portfolios traditionally anchored by assets with regulated returns or contracted cash flows spanning decades. Don Dmitrievich, head of Nuveen Energy Infrastructure Credit, framed the thesis plainly: Butterfly's energy management platform is one of the most compelling models we've seen for delivering real, scalable decarbonization in the built environment. Its ability to generate predictable cash flows, deliver energy savings for Butterfly's clients, and serve a largely untapped market segment makes Butterfly a high-impact, high-return investment. Why this matters? The financing structure, debt, not venture equity, suggests institutional allocators have moved past proof of concept on distributed energy resources, DARES, and now underwrite them as yield-generating infrastructure with cash flow visibility comparable to regulated utilities. That shift fundamentally revalues the commercial building stock as a dispatchable grid asset. The operating model, CapEx, cash flow, and operational control Butterfly finances, installs, owns, and operates energy infrastructure inside commercial facilities under long-term service contracts. Customers, restaurants, retailers, fitness centers, manufacturers, pay nothing upfront. The company recovers investment from a contracted share of energy savings it generates. Scope includes HVAC replacements, LED lighting, rooftop solar, proprietary monitoring software, and grid interactive controls. The ownership structure is the critical distinction. Because Butterfly retains title to installed equipment, it maintains operational control over building energy systems. That enables aggregation into virtual power plants, VPPs, and participation in wholesale electricity markets, capabilities demonstrated June 1, 2025, when Butterfly activated automated demand response across customer sites in CAISO, ISO-NI, PJM Interconnection, and SPP, working with utility partner Evergy and aggregation platform Leap. The platform dispatches HVAC systems in response to real-time electricity market signals without requiring customer opt-in, a structural advantage over conventional demand response programs dependent on manual enrollment. As of June 2025, Butterfly managed over 7,500 customer locations. The company reported a revenue run rate exceeding $250 million in September 2025, up from approximately $400,000 in 2017. Revenue growth at that velocity, roughly 60,000% over 8 years, reflects both aggressive site acquisition and the compounding effect of multi-year service contracts. The capital-intensive model requires patient, infrastructure-oriented capital. The debt facility expansion suggests GIP and Vantage Infrastructure view the cash flow profile as stable enough to support leverage at scale. Market sizing and the price volatility catalyst Butterfly targets the U.S. mid-market commercial segment, which accounts for an estimated $55 billion in annual electricity spend. Operators in this segment face continual exposure to price volatility and grid constraints, according to the company. Connecticut provides a visceral case study. Commercial electricity rates hit 23.34 cents per kilowatt hour in May 2025, a 20.2% year-over-year increase the company characterized as among the steepest in the nation. On September 30, 2025, Butterfly announced a partnership with OEM Controls, a Shelton, Connecticut manufacturer, deploying a system expected to cut annual energy use by more than 30%. Scope covered a 230-kilowatt rooftop solar array, replacement of 18 HVAC units, and LED retrofits across a 75,000-square-foot facility. That project provides a unit economic snapshot, a mid-sized industrial site, high regional power costs, and a 30% reduction target translate to multi-year contracted savings that can support debt service on installed capital. The IP portfolio reinforces the platform thesis. Butterfly filed 21 patents and received 4 grants in 2025 alone, bringing its total to 34 issued patents and 36 pending applications as of March 17, 2026. Infrastructure investors typically discount technology risk, a growing patent moat around controls, monitoring, and dispatch algorithms suggest Butterfly is building defensible competitive advantages beyond equipment installation. The capital stack and institutional participation, the $550 million debt facility represents the latest layer in a capital structure built over 4 years. In early March 2026, Butterfly secured a separate $100 million debt facility from Nuveen Energy Infrastructure Credit, pushing cumulative capital raised past $1 billion. The GIP-led upsizing followed 3 weeks later, adding $250 million and an additional $100 million accordion feature. Vantage Infrastructure, which participated in the upsizing, holds an equity and debt infrastructure investment portfolio of over $4 billion invested in infrastructure assets across Europe, North America, and Australia, according to the company. That Vantage increased its commitment alongside GIP suggests alignment on underwriting assumptions, contracted cash flows, long-dated customer agreements, and operational control over dispatchable load justify infrastructure-grade leverage. The debt facility structure, term loan, not revolving credit, implies the capital will fund asset deployment rather than working capital. At 7,500 customer locations as of mid-2025 and a $250 million revenue run rate, back-of-the-envelope math suggests roughly $33,000 in annual revenue per location. If contracts run 10 to 15 years and the company shares energy savings with customers, the installed capital per site likely ranges from $50,000 to $150,000. A $550 million facility could support deployment across 3,500 to 11,000 additional locations, depending on site profile and technology mix. Cross-sector context, industrial CapEx and the nearshoring thesis. Butterfly's model mirrors broader industrial CapEx trends visible in manufacturing and process industries. Cambrex, a contract development and manufacturing organization, announced March 26, 2026, completion of initial engineering studies for a $120 million active pharmaceutical ingredient, API, plant in Charles City, Iowa. Groundbreaking is scheduled for late 2026. The facility will add 140,000 liters of capacity, including large-scale reactors and Hastelloy agitated filter dryers, supporting complex chemistry and highly potent APIs. Cambrex's Iowa expansion sits within a wave of pharmaceutical nearshoring driven by supply chain resilience imperatives established during COVID-19 and reinforced by geopolitical fragmentation. The Charles City site will see a 20% increase in large-scale manufacturing capacity upon completion. Separately, Cambrex is investing $30 million in its Milan, Italy site, adding analytical development and process R&D capabilities. The Milan expansion is expected to complete in the second half of 2027. The parallel to Butterfly is the underwriting logic, multi-year contracted revenue, in Cambrex's case, from pharmaceutical innovators, in Butterfly's case, from commercial building operators, supports large-scale CapEx with visibility on cash flow recovery. Both models rely on long-term service agreements that effectively convert capital expenditure into operating expense for customers while creating contracted infrastructure-like returns for capital providers. Air Liquide unveiled March 26, 2026, a new advanced materials manufacturing plant in Taichung City, Taiwan, producing molecules essential for next-generation semiconductor chips powering artificial intelligence and high-performance computing. The facility produces materials for nanoscale processes such as atomic layer deposition, ALD, localizing supply close to semiconductor manufacturers. Air Liquide has invested over $1.07 billion at current exchange rates, in Taiwan since 2019. The Taiwan investment underscores a theme: proximity to demand centers, contracted relationships with large customers, and enabling infrastructure for high-growth end markets, AI chips, pharmaceutical APIs, commercial building electrification, attract infrastructure capital at scale. Butterfly's platform benefits from the same dynamic, embedded within customer facilities, long-term service contracts, and exposure to AI-driven data center and industrial load growth. Grid services and the VPP monetization layer. The June 2025 activation of automated demand response across four ISOs marks Butterfly's shift from pure efficiency play to grid services platform. The ability to dispatch HVAC load in response to wholesale market signals adds a monetization layer beyond shared energy savings. Frequency regulation, capacity payments, and ancillary services markets increasingly value fast responding, aggregated DARES. PJM interconnection, ISO-NI, CAISO, and SPP represent over 60% of U.S. wholesale electricity market activity by load served. Butterfly's operational footprint across these regions positions the platform to capture revenue from multiple grid services products. The partnership with Leap, a demand response aggregation platform, suggests Butterfly is outsourcing ISO enrollment and dispatch optimization while retaining operational control of the underlying assets. The economics of VPP participation remain opaque in the company's public disclosures, but the structure implies upside optionality on top of base case energy savings. If a customer site generates $20,000 annually in energy savings and an additional $5,000 from capacity payments and demand response, the blended return on installed capital improves materially. Infrastructure investors underwrite base case on contracted energy savings. Grid services revenue becomes upside that supports higher asset valuations and lower cost of capital. The Plaquemines view: this is not a clean tech story. It's an infrastructure repricing story, and the implications extend beyond EAA's platforms to commercial real estate broadly. GIP's participation signals that buildings, specifically, the energy systems embedded within them, are now infrastructure assets in the same sense that pipelines, cell towers, and fiber networks are infrastructure assets. The key is contracted cash flows, operational control, and exposure to secular demand drivers, electrification, grid decarbonization, data center proliferation. The second-order effect: commercial real estate values will increasingly reflect embedded energy infrastructure and grid connectivity. A building with a long-term EAA's contract, rooftop solar, battery storage, and ISO-enrolled demand response capability is worth more, both as a tenant proposition and as a grid asset, than an identical building without those features. Landlords and right operators should be modeling energy infrastructure as a value creation lever, not just an operating cost line item. The third-order play: aggregators and software platforms that enable VPP participation will attract follow-on capital. Butterfly's partnership with Leap is a proof point. Leap aggregates DARES, handles ISO enrollment, and optimizes dispatch across multiple markets. As more EAA's platforms, behind-the-meter battery operators, and industrial demand response participants enter the market, aggregation becomes the middleware layer that captures economics at scale. The risk case: demand response economics depend on grid scarcity. If capacity markets clear at low prices or renewable penetration reduces price volatility, the VPP monetization layer compresses. Butterfly's base case, contracted energy savings, insulates the model from wholesale market risk, but the upside optionality that likely attracted GIP depends on continued grid stress and high electricity prices. The larger strategic question: does GIP view Butterfly as a standalone portfolio company or as a platform acquisition candidate for a utility, data center operator, or industrial right? The capital structure, senior debt, not equity, suggests GIP is underwriting yield, not equity appreciation on exit. That implies a longer hold period, consistent with infrastructure fund mandates, and positions the asset for eventual sale to a strategic buyer seeking embedded load flexibility at scale. The bottom line: when infrastructure capital treats commercial buildings as dispatchable grid assets, the investment thesis extends beyond Butterfly. Any operator with long-term customer contracts, ownership of behind-the-meter energy systems, and operational control over flexible load becomes a potential infrastructure investment. That includes EAA's platforms, behind-the-meter battery developers, industrial demand response aggregators, and commercial solar plus storage operators. The $550 million debt facility is a valuation benchmark. If institutional allocators underwrite EAA's platforms at infrastructure-grade leverage multiples, the sector's cost of capital drops materially. That accelerates deployment, compresses payback periods, and unlocks customer segments, particularly mid-market commercial and industrial operators, that lack balance sheet capacity for upfront energy capex. The immediate implication for institutional allocators: buildings are the grid's next flexible asset class, and the capital structures being built today will define the sector's liquidity and exit pathways for the next decade. GIP's bet is that contracted energy savings plus optionality on grid services revenue justify infrastructure-grade leverage. If that thesis holds, commercial building efficiency stops being a niche ESG allocation and becomes core infrastructure. The actionable takeaway: watch for similar debt facility expansions across EAA's platforms, behind-the-meter storage operators, and demand response aggregators. When infrastructure capital flows in at scale, multiples expand, exit pathways open, and the sector transitions from venture-backed growth plays to yield-generating infrastructure. That transition is happening now.